Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani Channel, mashallah wa azzurra, welcome back to another episode of our series in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. Remember, there are many blessings and virtues in sending salawat upon the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final Prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has stated, من صلى علي صلاة واحدة صلى الله عليه عشرة, that he who recites salat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall bestow 10 blessings upon that person. Subhanallah, make it a regular habit of yours, a regular practice of yours, to send salawat upon the beloved Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now previously on our series in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we heard about the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in particular one incident, and this was the story of Sayyida Ummi Ma'bad radiallahu ta'ala anha. Her name shall live forever long. Ummi Ma'bad, this is what she's famously known as. Atika radiallahu ta'ala anha, but her name or her title, Ummi Ma'bad, her patronym if you wish, shall remain forever within the, not only the minds, but within the hearts of the Muslims. Ummi Ma'bad radiallahu anha, when people migrate from Makkah al-Mukarramah to al-Madinah al-Munawwara, her name is mentioned, her name is remembered. Many a time people will also stop at her place of living where her house used to be to visit that place where this famous incident took place, which we heard of in the last episode, mashallah wa azzurra. When Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, she had no food. There's no milk to provide the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he in fact helped her. This is the beauty, the greatness of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that even those people who are constantly feeding others, they come and gain benefit at the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam. That was the story of Ummi Ma'bad. And today, inshallah, we shall continue from there. Continue with the hijrah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please do remember that it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with him Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, also the freed slave of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Amir ibn Fuhayra radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and as well as this, there was one more person, there was their guide, Abdullah ibn Urayqid. This was his name, Abdullah ibn Urayqid. So these were four individuals traveling together on the, amongst the most notable and the greatest, you could say, journeys in the entire history, the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Now the seerah, it continues. So it stated that after they left Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after they left the place of Ummi Ma'bad, what happened is another famous incident occurs, and this is that of Suraqa ibn Malik, ibn Ju'sham radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who later accepts Islam. What happened, and this is mentioned, it's quite famous, it was from the tribe of Banu Mudlaj. He intercepts the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, intending to stop them and return them to the people. And Suraqa ibn Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, he passed away in the year 24 Hijrah, and he accepts Islam after the battle of or the siege of Ta'if, after the battle of Hunayn, the siege of Ta'if, he accepts Islam. And that, inshallah, we shall hear about further or later on, inshallah. Now, what happened, and the Hadith Sharif, the entire Hadith Sharif is also mentioned, that what happened was one day, this same individual, Suraqa ibn Malik, who was once sitting there, and he had heard that the Quraysh, they had promised that that individual who pursues Sayyidina Rasulullah, who captures the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and he was alive or dead, whether they brought him alive or dead, that individual will gain a reward of 100 camels. And what happened is, he heard about this bounty, yes, and he's sitting there one day, and whilst he's sitting there, a person comes, and he says that, I think, you know, Araha, he says, I think Araha Muhammadan wa ashabahu, that, you know, I think I've seen the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as his companions. I think I have seen them. So he comes to where Suraqa, this time who is not a Muslim, where Suraqa ibn Malik is sitting along with other people. He comes to them and he says, look, I've just seen these, you know, some say, you know, I saw them on the coast. And I believe that they are Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as his companions. I've seen a few figures. And Suraqa, he says, immediately I understood. Suraqa, he was firstly, no doubt, very, very intelligent. He was very, very intelligent. We come to learn that. Even from this story, which is a very, very famous one. Generally, he's very, very intelligent. But also, he was known to be a brilliant tracker. Now, Suraqa says, as soon as that person came and told me this, immediately I recognized and I realized that, yes, that had to be them. But I did not tell them this. And what does he say immediately? He says that, فَقُلْتُ لَهُ إِنَّهُمْ لَيْسُوا بِهِمْ. He says, no, I said, this cannot be them. He lied, basically. He lied and said, no, this is not them. But this must be so-and-so person. And then he waited there. And after a while, what does he do? He gets up and he says, you know, he narrates this, the entire hadith of himself. And he says, look, I got up and then I went home. I asked my maid to bring my horse, yes, but to bring it from behind the hill and to keep it ready for me. So he did this in secrecy. Why? Possibly out of greed, you can say. He himself says, because I'd heard that the Quraysh, the people, they said 100 camels, and I wanted all of it for myself. All of it I wanted for myself. So he says, okay, so I asked my maid to get my horse, prepare my horse, and bring it behind the hill. Have it prepared there, and then I'll come and take it from you there. I then grabbed my spear, and I left. And this is Sayyidina Suraqa, he says that he left from the back of the house. And he said that Sayyidina Suraqa, radhiallahu anhu, he meets behind the hill, he meets his servant, and he gets onto his horse, and he prepares to go and find or search for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, there's just another thing which comes to mind here. He was no doubt very, very confident, because he could have left with a group, but he did not. Rather, he left alone. Why would he leave alone? Well, one reason is greed. And from it, it seems like that's what the reason is, because he says, I went out to capture them. But you see, what else we learn from this? He was very, very confident. How? He knows there is more than one person. How does he on his own expect to capture more than one person? Was he so confident that he thinks he could fight four people on his own, or three people, depending on what he considered them to be? Was he that confident? Was he that strong? Was he that brilliant in his, not only in his horsemanship, but as well as that in his fighting, in his combat, in his sword fighting? Wallahu alam. But no doubt he was very, very confident. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I've not read anything about this, but this is what he does. And he says that what happens is, as he comes close to them, he suddenly falls off his horse. And then what he does, and this is what they would do, is they would throw arrows. This is how they would, this was their method of deciding, should I do this or should I not do this? So he throws his arrows, and the arrows, the result comes out that is unfavorable. Meaning that don't go and try to harm them. But then you see, greed got to the better of him. And he ignores the arrows, and again he mounts his horse. Yes? And then he comes again, he charges at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again. He charges at them again, but what happens? Not only does he fall off, but the knees of his horse sink into the ground. But there's one other thing he mentions which is so beautiful. He says that I could hear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting the Quran, and he gives us an image of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He describes to us, and he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was riding, and he was not looking front or back. He was not looking back. Yes, he wasn't looking side to side. He was not looking back. He was not worried. And he says, whilst I saw Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, he would be looking side to side. Yes, why? Because he was also like a guard. Yes, he also considered it his responsibility. Yes, he was ready to give his life for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at all times. As we had heard the story of the Ghar Thawr, the cave of Thawr. He was looking right, left, he was looking back. Allahu Akbar, just to make sure, see, is there anybody there? Is there anybody there? Allahu Akbar. And Sayyidina Suraqah ibn Malik at this time, as I mentioned, who was not a Muslim. What happens is he's charging at them and he falls off again. The knees of the horse falling into the ground. And then he checks his arrows again. Again he says, no, don't do anything. And then what happens is he suddenly understands that there's nothing I can do now. And then he calls out to them. He calls out to them, and it's mentioned that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, that during all this time, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, he actually noticed Suraqah bin Malik. And he says to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who's pursuing us, he has caught up to us. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, don't be worried, don't be sad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. And then as Suraqah comes closer, yes, where they are, he's quite close to them. He says again that he tells the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, and I was worried. He was worried for the safety of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whereas the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Look, you don't need to worry." Yes, he said, "Allah subhanahu wa taala is with us." And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does du'a. Ya Allah, protect us from him, however kama shi'ta, however you wish. Allahu Akbar. When this has happened a third time, when the knees of the horse has sunk into the ground, that Suraqah bin Malik has been rendered, you could say, in a way defeated, humiliated, brought to the ground. What does Suraqah do? He calls out to them and he asks for safety. He says, I am Suraqah, and give me a chance to speak to you. I swear by Allah, no harm will come to you from me. He says, I know you have prayed against me, so now pray for me. Allahu Akbar. Suraqah, he made a pact with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says that I shall never fight you, I will never fight them. Also, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for only one thing. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, do not tell anybody about us. So this was part of his pact. He also said that he would not inform anybody about that, you know, he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Suraqah also offers them food and supplies. Yes, he offers them food. He says, look, I have this food, I have these supplies with me. Why don't you take these? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no, we don't need anything from you. Basically, we don't need you. And then Suraqah, he also says, he says, look, take my quiver. And, you know, the quiver in which they would hold the arrows. Yes, and he says, look, take an arrow from it. Why? Because every arrow would have a sign on it. Yes, it would have some sort of engraving which shows that it belongs to such and such person possibly. Or more importantly, or moreover, you can say such and such tribe. So he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why do you take this arrow? And then because you're going to come at this place and you'll come by my camels and my sheep when you come to such and such place. And whatever you want, you could take from them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again he replies, he says, we have no need or anything for your camels. We have no need for you basically. We have no need for anything from you. And other than one thing, they didn't ask or take anything from Suraqah bin Malik. Other than what they asked for was what? That he does not tell anybody. Secrecy. He keeps a location secret. from which we learn an important lesson which I've spoken about before too, that secrecy is important. Be secretive, yes, be secretive. Not such where you're hurting another person, no. Sometimes where it's important to speak and to share. Whereas many times, if you wish to gain success, be secret. Don't tell everybody about everything. You know, we have things known as nazar too, where, you know, the evil eye, etc., etc. Don't show off, especially. Secrecy, inshallah, you'll gain blessings in it. Inshallah, we find throughout the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like especially this incident, the incident of Hijrah, yes? That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would keep things in secret, he would do things instantaneously. He didn't even tell Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu that, you know, when we are going to perform the Hijrah, when we are going to migrate. He just one time, at a random time, a time he normally never appears, he comes to his house and says, we're leaving. Secrecy, subhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. So Suraqa, after having swore this oath, don't worry, I will not tell your location. And what he does is he asks for one thing, and he asks for a guarantee. He says, look, I wish for safety. And this is beautiful, in fact, that he came to attack the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's the one who is going to ask them, grant me safety. Don't just grant me safety, write it down for me. Because he had, you could say, he had recognized the prophethood of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had recognized it. Why else would he ask for secrecy? He could have just gone up and left. Remember, he was going behind them. He could have just gone up and left. Of course, that amount, that safety was not for this time. It was for the future. But why does he need safety for the future? Because he knows that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would gain something. He would gain prominence. Yes, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would gain prominence, he would gain authority, he would gain success, no doubt about it. And why? Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a true prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why he asked for it in written form too. He says, give it to me in written form. And he stated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instructed either Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, and someone mentioned it was Sayyidina Amir ibn Fuhayra, who wrote this on a piece of parchment or a piece of leather or even on a bone. Wallahu a'lam. They mention that Suraqa, he will be given safety. And this later, it comes in the benefit of Suraqa, but not only Suraqa, but also his entire tribe, the Banu Mudlij, inshallah, which we shall come to hear of later. So Suraqa, later he goes back and he stated that he doesn't mention anything, he doesn't tell anybody anything. He doesn't even mention the incident, some say. Yes, until it came to Hunayn, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the success of Hunayn, after after laying siege to Ta'if, yes, Suraqa bin Malik, he comes to Jirana. And when he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he raises his hands and he shows him that document that he has. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, this is your document. You know, you've given me peace. Yes, you've said that this is what shall happen. Yes, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, don't worry, this is the day of righteousness, of fulfillment. And then Suraqa ibn Malik rahimahullah ta'ala wa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he then accepts Islam. It's stated that after those days, Suraqa went and actually informed some people that he had encountered and he had met and he had seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Abu Jahl blames him. And do you know the reply he gives? He gives a beautiful reply. He says, "Oh Abu al-Hakam," this is what they would call him. They would call him Abu al-Hakam, but the Muslims, they call him Abu Jahl. He says that, "I swear by the gods, yes, that if you had witnessed the event yourself when my horse's legs sunk into the ground, then you would have marveled without doubting that Muhammad is a prophet with clear evidence. Who can deny this?" Allahu Akbar. And he said that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also makes another beautiful promise to Suraqa. And he says to him that, "How will it be when you wear the bracelets of Khosrow? Now, this is one of the greatest prophecies. There were many prophecies throughout the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but this was one of the greatest prophecies of the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, there were many that Rome shall fall, etc., etc. But this specifically, this one. What's so beautiful about this is he says to Suraqah bin Malik, he says, look, this is more than one thing. Because this is also prophesizing that Suraqah bin Malik will accept Islam. Yes, indirectly. That Suraqah bin Malik will also become a Muslim. Not that, not only that, that what will bring him to Islam, the Messenger of Allah will not become successful. Not only that, also, the what's the elephant in the room, as you would say, that the Persian Empire would fall to its knees. Yes, and the Khosrow, the Khosrow is a title given to Ibn Hurmuz, famously known as, yes, the person who is the king, you can say, the leader, the emperor of Persia, he's given the title of Khosrow. Yes, but now especially the emperor of Khosrow, what he was famous for is all of his jewelry. He would wear lots of jewelry. Now, it was not the same. Yes, they would wear the emperor of Rome would wear his crown. Yes, and he would possibly wear some rings. However, the emperor of Khosrow was famously known for all of his jewelry. He would wear so much jewelry, covering his forearms. He would wear so many rings. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, how will it be when you will wear the bracelets of Khosrow? So this was a prophecy. Now later, during the time of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, during his time, they brought the Persian Empire to the knees, yes, and they conquered Persia. And when Ibn Hurmuz, his jewelry was then taken from him, his crown was taken from him, his belt, etc., all these ornaments were taken from him, and all of these were sent to Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the Khalifa of the time. And Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, he takes the bracelets, because this is what the Prophet mentioned, the bracelets, not the crown, not this, not that, etc., the bracelets. And he takes the bracelets and he gives them to Suraqah bin Malik. He says to him, raise your hands. Yes, and he says, Allahu Akbar. And so he says, Subhanallah, who stripped these from Khosrow ibn Hurmuz, and he made them be worn by Suraqah ibn Malik, who is only a Bedouin from the Banu Mudlij. Allahu Akbar. And then the rest of it, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he distributes amongst the rest of the Muslims. So this was Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, along with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is what qissa Suraqah ibn Malik. This is the story of Suraqah ibn Malik, a story from which we can extrapolate many, many lessons, no doubt about it, from which we learn so much, and especially this prophecy, which shows that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, well, there are many things which show it, but this is one of those many things, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a true, no doubt, true prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of all mankind, the greatest of all history, of all people, of all creation in the entire history, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should learn more about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. You see, this was a person who had greed. He went to attack the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he, upon arriving there, he asks for the safety and Islam. Maybe Islam entered his heart at that time. Wallahu alam, is famously known that he accepts Islam at Jiyarana at a later time. But wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam biswab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But subhanallah, what a beautiful story. The story of Suraqah bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he passed away in the year 24th Hijrah, which was during the beginning of the caliphate of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And if it was thus all for today, inshallah, in the future, there is so much more to learn, especially when it comes to the beautiful biography of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've heard of one incident from the Hijrah Yes, of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one incident from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Join us next time, inshallah, to learn about more of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to develop and increase our love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Join us next time, inshallah, for more in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.